Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life. On this episode, it's all about periods, wanderlust, and a big old long chat about friendship. Plus the usuals, runners' highs, runners' lows, and a Strava Club update. Hello, Harry.
Hi, Lizzie.
How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. Yes, we're not in the same room again this week, which is sad, but yay, technology.
Yay.
So yes, I'm in London in my living room. Where are you?
I am in Norfolk in my parents' living room with the dog.
Oh. She's
looking a little bit freaked out.
Might we hear some dog noises?
Maybe. Apologies for that in advance.
Well, I also need to apologise in case you hear any of the orchestra that's going on in my next door neighbour's house.
Oh!
because they always practice piano, which is quite pleasant, but they seem to today have added clarinet for the first time as well.
They've got a friend round. So tell me what you've been up to.
So, yes, what have I been up to? I have been to Barcelona! Yay!
Yay! Oh my god, your live tweeting was fantastic. Oh, I was really enjoying it.
I really enjoyed doing it. That was such a good race to watch. It was really good.
The weather looked nice.
Yeah, well, it was okay. It was sunny. That's the main thing. That's the good thing about places like that. Even when it's not that warm, not grey. Like, London's just grey today. Really grey. Whereas it was like 15 degrees, but really sunny. And yeah, beautiful. Loved it.
Fab.
I tweeted afterwards. I was like, if I could just do this for my job, that would be amazing. I just want to go round to European races and tweet about them.
We should. OFTR needs a budget for this.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I can get paid for it, but I want it to happen.
Sponsors? You could wear like, it could be like Formula One. You could wear like a cap.
But yeah, it was good. How has your weeks been?
My weeks have been very good. I have been very slowly getting myself back into gear. Too much skiing does take it a lot out of you, I've concluded.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And 2 weeks worth of it seems to have kind of knackered me out totally. So it's been, you know, I've been doing lots of work things really and getting back to speed. And I'm up to see my parents because they're about to go on a great big like holiday for nearly over a month. 6 weeks away, so I'm kind of like getting my last see of them before they go off on their adventure.
Well, that's quite incredible, isn't it? I was saying how you were lucky to have 2 weeks off when you weren't here, and they're going for 6 weeks.
I know. I suppose the benefit of being retired, hey?
I can't wait.
They're having like that backpacker born again vibe.
Oh my god, I can't wait to be older.
I'm already planning that. So tell me, what are your runner's highs or just highs and lows?
Runner's highs, obviously, was going to Barcelona and seeing the marathon. Even though I wasn't running it, I'm going to count it as a runner's high. I actually did run 3K of it sporadically.
Oh, nice.
Bits. I ran 1K and then 2K later on. I'm basically just going to do a little case now that anyone that doesn't get into London next year should really, really consider this race as a really good alternative to London, even though it's quite a lot before, 6 weeks before. So your training will be quite a lot out from everyone else that's doing a spring marathon. It'll be quite a lot earlier, but oh my god, it's so good. So I've gone out there for the last 2 years for this race because Steph ran it last year and my friend Goshi ran it this year, who was on a couple of episodes ago, and it's just so good. It's like really well organized. The route is awesome. It goes around all of the good places of Barcelona, like all the touristy bits. But it's also really central.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome for spectators. So pretty much everywhere where I popped out on the map, they gave this amazing map of the expo where it said, it showed you like how far it was to walk between different places and where all the metro stops were. So I just kind of picked metro stops thinking, oh, I'll go to that stop and then I'll try and find the route. Every single one I popped out of the metro and was like, oh, the race is right there. Cool.
Oh, that's so helpful.
It was really good. I managed to see her 4 times on the route because...
That's incredible. Like, that's hard to do.
Yeah, and it didn't even feel like that much effort. You know when you watch London Marathon, you feel like, oh my God, getting into the tube and out of the tube and so many people around it, like, it feels really hard work, whereas this didn't feel like hard work at all. And good app. The app was awesome because the tracking was actually on time, like literally to within a couple of hundred meters. It updated every tenth of a kilometer, and it was really, really accurate. So that also helped. And the atmosphere was great. It wasn't like dense support the whole way around, but I think there's probably like people the whole way around, which also made it easier to get around and see people jump in and run for a bit.
Could have just crossed the line.
Well, the funny thing was I jumped in at 38k just in case Gosha needed anyone, and she really didn't. I don't know why I kept running for so long. Ran with her for like 2k, and then the final straight is kind of uphill, and she started accelerating so much because she knew she was near the finish. I was like, I don't think I can really keep up with you. I'm just gonna leave you to it. It's all right. And yeah,
that's so impressive. She was right at the end of the marathon, and she sped up
so much. I was like running next to her, and I was like, okay, all right, see you later, see you at the end. This is really bad.
Oh, we should get her back on the podcast to give us a lowdown on how she did.
Yeah, definitely. She did so good. Didn't stop for the whole thing. She's like my peeing hero because she didn't stop to go to the toilet the whole time.
Oh, man, that's like my aspiration.
Just great. Every time I saw her, she's like, it's amazing. I love it.
Aw, so proud. Yeah. Well done, Gosha.
Yeah, well done.
So did you have a low? You've had too many good things going on here.
Well, either side of going to Barcelona, I've been ill different times. Had 3 days off work in 2 weeks, so boo. Done very little running. I don't feel like I've actually been properly well for about 3 weeks now.
Ooh.
So that sucks. I went to parkrun today for the first time since the beginning of January, and oh my God, hard.
That is a hard parkrun, the Mile End one as well.
Yeah,
it's not flat. You know, you didn't ease yourself in there.
No, I kind of was arguing with someone the other day that it's actually like you shouldn't call it hilly because it's not that hilly. And then I was running it. And I was like, why was I ever arguing that this isn't hilly? It's so hilly. Definitely hilly.
Nothing like a baptism of fire to get you back into things.
Yeah. So, oh well, at least I went. Wasn't my slowest time either. So,
well done. Yes. I'm very proud. I've done. I will took the dog for a walk. That's my today effort.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Tell me about your high.
Oh, my high. My high isn't actually like running related. It's on the same. It's not really fitness related either. It's in the right remit. Maybe you can see. You can tell me if this passes or not. But it's actually after the whole skiing thing last week. Or no, the first week straight after we recorded the last episode. I went to Union Chapel, that lovely venue in Islington, and saw the Banff Film Festival, which is this thing that started in Banff, but it's basically commissioning adventure films. And they're all surrounded about things like cycling and running and skiing. And it was a series of films, and it goes on this world tour from Banff. So they go all over the place and screen them. And we went to there's a red program and a blue program, and we went to the red program. And I just really enjoyed seeing really inspiring people who were, you know, that feeling of like, these are normal people doing inspiring things, seeing the world. And it's great to see them on a big screen, not kind of watched on your computer or on the TV. And it just felt, it was great. It was really fun. And it just, of course, there were a lot of mountains, and it made me miss the skiing quite a lot. there was an awesome trail running one, actually, which I thought was really interesting because it was it's like Mont Blanc. It kind of like takes in Mont Blanc as part of the route.
Okay.
And the girl won it, but she did it in 23 hours, nearly a full 24 hours. And they just filmed her all along the route, like a kind of, you know, every couple of stops they'd be like interviewing, they were following a couple of them. And it was just fascinating, like, you know, that thing of appreciating ultra running and understanding that thing of it goes through the night, people stop and have a cup of tea. Mm. It is just such a different culture, such a different way of life. And they did some really nice shots of kind of in the day, the runners in their preparation, like it's running with like out any inhibition. He was running around a coastal path that looked like all the rock was about to fall away, and he's just bounding away within like tiny little light shoes, like barely noticing what he was stepping on, and it just felt really like freeing. And yeah, it made me kind of be like, okay, maybe I could have a go at this trail malarkey a little bit.
Ooh.
I know, not ultra though.
No.
No,
in first.
Yeah, but I think maybe in the right setting, that kind of stuff could be quite incredible, because you could just, you know, the views you can get from it.
Yeah.
Also, maybe you could just go for a really good walk.
Yeah, do you know what? That's something I don't do enough of, which I'd really like to do. I mean, I would really like to go for a proper hike.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I like my mountains, I think, rather than running through them, walking up them.
We're actually, I'm really looking forward to Easter, because we're going to Scotland, and we're going to West Scotland, and Pete has sussed out some little mini bends. Small. I think they're more hills than mountains.
Where in Scotland are you going?
It's called Inverary.
Okay.
It's kind of near the like Loch Lomond area, yes, where the Loch Ness Monster is, but it's kind of like an hour and a half, 2 hours drive from Scotland, from Glasgow.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're going on Easter.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Going to West Scotland all over Scotland, but also West Scotland for work before Christmas. And oh
yeah,
God, it's so beautiful. It's made me want to go back to Scotland so much, which I wouldn't have put it on my list of places I wanted to go until I went for work, and I was like, oh my God, it's so beautiful.
That's it. I have heard so many great things, and I've only been when I was like 14, and I definitely didn't appreciate it. I climbed Ben Nevis, and I think because I was 14, I was just kind of a stroppy teenager.
Yeah, we drove past Ben Nevis. I was like, I want to go up it.
Yeah, I want to do it again.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Let's go on a tour.
Okay, tell me about your low.
Oh, yeah, I have a low. Oh, well, I think we've touched on it. Just so heavy-legged. The running has been a little... I've been trying to run, but I found it so hard. I genuinely feel like I've proper worn myself out. So,
well, you probably had.
Yeah. I mean, we did discuss... It's a bit like you've done a squat for 2 weeks. Yes. I was like, oh, yeah, I suppose I have a bit. So I've been a bit frustrated. It's made me a bit grumpy because... I haven't really felt like I've been able to put in the energy and,
yeah,
you know, get back on it like I'd like to, but yeah, it'll be fine. I've got Reading Half Marathon in like 2 weeks, so
okay,
we're just gonna see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm feeling like the hangover from my cold still, because being asthmatic, it kind of hangs around on my chest longer than it would for most people, I feel, and I just, yeah,
makes the running harder.
Yeah, makes the running harder. But yeah, we'll be fine. Once the sun comes out a bit more.
Yeah, thank goodness. Spring has creeped in. I'm actually looking at a vase of daffodils right now, and they're making me so happy.
I am so happy that daffodils are back in the shops, and I just keep buying them all the time because they're really cheap and lovely.
Yeah, flowers. Yay.
Other things that I want to moan about.
Just while we're here in the update section of the podcast.
This podcast is basically just turning into me moaning all the time. So we send out a newsletter every other week when we're not got a podcast, and was it in last week's newsletter that this article was in it? Maybe the week before. Anyway, about how it's called Period Pain is Officially as Bad as a Heart Attack.
Fact.
It is actually a fact now.
It did say, it was like, doctors have come around to the idea that actually period pain is quite bad.
Yeah. Oh, I do believe it's something that should be taken care of, like anything else in medicine, is one of the quotes from the doctors. And anyway, I just like to say that today, I agree with that. I'm in a lot of pain and I'm very grumpy because of it. And it's as bad as a heart attack. So I'm eating lots of chocolate.
Good. I'm not sure that's how you remedy a heart attack.
Maybe not the heart attack, but no.
Hot water bottle, that's what you need.
Yes.
Well, talking of things that we put in our newsletter, I've been really enjoying our kind of 5-minute internet reads. And I've particularly enjoyed, we've had some good ones. We've had like those really nice journeys, the best train journeys of the world.
Oh my God.
I'm doing all of those.
Oh my God. It's not very often where you look at something and you just think, oh my God, like, I read that and was just, yeah.
You can tell I've got total wanderlust at the moment. Like, I can't not talk about stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's this article called The World's 6 Best Train Journeys. And I really want, there was one of them in particular that I really, 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 really want to do. I read it and my heart just skipped a beat. Like the pictures, and it sounds incredible. It's like 28 days long, cost like $3,000, going from Budapest to Iran. Ugh.
So seen. Like, think of all the countries you go through on that.
A little bit of the Orient Express, go to Istanbul. The scenery in Iran looked amazing.
But we do have some other...
Oh yeah, other topics that we were reading about recently.
And it's one of, these have been some of the most click links on our emails too. Like, I think because everyone goes through the same kind of feelings. And particularly as a woman, I think you evaluate your relationships with your friends in I don't know, not that sounds really harsh on men, but kind of like you have higher regard or have a lot of appreciation for the women that are around you and the friends you have. And I think some of the articles you found were quite, like, controversial, I thought. Well, not controversial, but just, stating stuff that people don't always talk about.
Yeah. So, a couple of... So, yeah, we've saved a lot of links about friendship and female friendship recently. And a couple of them have been because a book is... Well, it's come out in the US already, and it's coming out in the UK here next week, called All the Single Ladies... and it's by a feminist called Rebecca Traister, and it's basically saying about how single women in America are now a really important kind of portion of the demographic in a way that they've never been before, because there's just so many more of them and people are getting married a lot later or not getting married at all. But then it kind of explored the idea of female friendship in a lot more detail, because it is so much more important to people now because they're not getting married, or friendship groups are changing, or all these different kind of things.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed there was that reference that I was saying I read about 19th century women who had their, like, were always part of this integrated social network. Like, it was important to know people both singly and as a group, and it was about that kind of, you could pass messages through a network and you could stay connected to a kind of a wide span of people who would give you lots of advice and varying guidance depending on where they were in their life. And I think because of probably, I suppose, like the way our lives are now with so much more digital connections, we can feel like we've got this huge fabric of people who you know, you kind of feel like you've spread yourself across lots of people and you know them in a kind of very light touch kind of way, and you forget the importance of the people who need to be there for you, you know, when things aren't all rosy and great. And it, that support network and how valuable it is. And I think recently I've noticed it more from the point of view of, it's not been me that's been going through the hard times, but my friends, my very close friends have, and understanding how important it is to be there for them and trying to work out how to be there for them, like what can you do in those situations, and realizing how much it was important to me that I tried to do something, even if it was small, but something that I felt was showed that I did care and was thinking about them.
I think one of my favourite articles that we saved was one called What Women Find in Friends That They May Not Get from Love, which was written, I think, when she was single, and it was basically telling the story of her and her best friend and how they were basically like the husband and wife of each other. They didn't live together, but they kind of just did all the things that couples would do.
Yeah, yes, I did read this one. And she and isn't it one of them goes away?
Yeah, one of them moves away to be with they get a boyfriend and they move to a different city to live with them instead. And for the person writing it, the one that was left behind, it was like as bad as a breakup, because even though it wasn't like a sexual thing, it was like the person that they spent all their time with, and they'd suddenly gone away, and they were like, oh, how do you deal with this? Because it's not something that you get support for in the same way that you would if you broke up with a boyfriend, because everyone would be like, oh my god, you've broken up with your boyfriend, like we must like come around and make sure you're okay. But that same thing doesn't happen with friends, because people assume that it's not the same.
Yeah. And often it's so much more similar than you'd ever realise, really. Because exactly, you're sharing lots of the same experiences or wanting to share your life with someone.
There was actually, on the New York Times, a whole week of essays about the ups and downs of being an uncoupled woman, which I really liked as an uncoupled woman. And they're all on very similar topics. One of the other ones actually was about someone that didn't want children, but got all of their joy of children from their friends having children.
That was
a really, really nice article, because they were like, basically, I get to have all these really cool conversations with kids and spend loads of time with them, but I don't want any of my own. And I thought that was a really nice article, because it just got to show that just because you don't want children doesn't mean you necessarily hate them, and you can still get, if you've got a really close circle of friends that have got them, then you can kind of get the joy from that instead.
Yeah, it can be so reassuring to read something that, you know, like that thing of like, I'm not having an original thought, other people have thought this too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think all of them in different ways kind of said stuff like that to me, because I think we were talking earlier about how this is a kind of time of your life where friendships are probably a bit more complex than they were before, because boyfriends and husbands and kids and stuff get involved. And it's just nice to read things like that and think, so it's not all as complicated for everyone as it is for me.
And that thing of it doesn't get easier, but people grow, you grow up, I suppose, you start to understand that, you start to work out ways to make it work.
Yeah.
And it will be what kind of fits for you.
Yeah. And it does become more, less easy and more of a thing that you actually have to work at maintaining. Because what was that article you told me about earlier, where one of the writer's friends said that she deliberately prioritized her life in order, and it was kids, husband, work, friends.
Yeah, I'm not into this.
No, that was
she's annoyed me. Well, I just think that I get the kind of idea that, yes, I think the comment around it is life is complex, so the way this person is navigating her life is by putting things into priority, which makes sense. But I just don't think that you can't apply that priority structure all of the time, because then you're mismanaging, there will be times when that priority needs to totally flip round, and that's fine, and you're not going to lessen any of the others by doing that.
Yeah. And also the person that was her friend was like, well, that made me feel really crappy, because I always knew that I was bottom of her list of four priorities.
Although, interestingly, I would say that I know that one of the primary heated debates that might happen in my house is often over the fact that I have probably a fairly active social life outside of our relationship, and I like to stay in touch with my friends, and I like to be organising going out with them. And often the debate is, oh, but you haven't seen enough of me. And that I can understand how it is such a tricky balance.
Yeah, I think I'm in quite an easy situation at the moment, because I'm single, in that all of my time is my own. I can choose to use it however I want. So it's easy for me to see friends, because I don't have someone at home or another person that's like, when are you going to see me? But this is probably a really selfish single person thing to feel. But I always think to myself, when people say that, when they live with people, I'm like, well, you don't need to say that, because you live with each other, so you see each other all the time. So even if you went for 4 days where you didn't see each other every night, you've got the rest of your lives when you're going to see each other.
Yeah, there's still time. Yeah, and that's all, that goes into that whole thing of, because you must feel it sometimes with people, anyone you live with, you're all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've not seen you for a bit. What have we been doing? And it's trying to keep, because you have to work at that relationship in the same way that you do with the people who you don't live with.
Yeah.
It's got to be it's that thing of quality over quantity or whatever.
I am worried that I'm the longer I am single, the harder it would be for me to find time for someone else to be there, because I like the fact that I can do what I want all the time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think it's the luxury, isn't it? And that's often where someone says, I have my, I'm happy because I have my independence and I can do whatever I want. It's a hard thing to compromise on. I suppose that's why it's so important to find someone who's a good fit, who gets you and is able to be flexible in that way.
Oh yeah, because also on the subject of friendship, they found that article about people that send work,
yeah,
Outlook invites to spend time with people.
Yeah, I also know someone who requests their PA gets in touch with you to organise a drink.
No,
and that's not cool. That doesn't wash with me.
No, that's really not cool. I kind of don't disagree with the Outlook scheduling of friend time, because was the article just objecting to it being in their work calendar, or just objecting to it being scheduled? Because I think most people our age kind of accept that you kind of have to schedule. Like, there are obviously occasions where I do sporadically see my friends, but a lot of the time it is like at least 2 weeks in advance. Maybe at least a week in advance.
Yeah, planning. It definitely depends on different friendship groups. Like, I think, and maybe a difference with male and female as well. Like, sometimes, yeah, I would love to live a life where I'm able to just be like, call up my friend and be like, do you want to go for a drink tonight? But this never seems to actually pan out for me.
No, I think it also doesn't help that, like, locality either, because...
Yeah, true.
A lot of the time you're, like, at least half an hour, maybe an hour away from people. So that kind of random, what are you doing right now? You've already added an extra hour onto that before you've even done anything.
Yeah, it's quite a it's just making me think of that Seriously podcast where they reviewed the whole of Friends, and they were talking about how I think because of our age and almost that generation of experiencing the story of Friends, you live with this idealized idea that you you see your friends all of the time, they are seconds away from you, and you're constantly dropping in on each other, and it's this lifestyle that is like completely centered around going to the same coffee shop or living in flats opposite each other, and forget really that that's quite a luxury, particularly in London.
Yeah, I think it is massively a London thing, because when I lived in Nottingham, it did feel a lot more like that, because I actually did live around the corner from one of my friends, and because it was such a small city and I worked for quite a big company in that city, every time we went out we would see someone that worked with us, or that knew someone that worked with us, or like it just felt a lot smaller, and that you would always see someone, or it was a lot easier just to be like, so it's a Wednesday night, we're just gonna go get some food, do you want to come? Because it, like, everyone lived within 20 minutes of each other.
Yeah it makes so much difference. So yeah, I think you have to schedule time because you have to appreciate the locality factor as much as anything.
Yes, I'm trying to get better at not scheduling every hour of my time. And on the most part, I think I am getting better.
Free-forming. My thing was around that. I think we've definitely talked about this on the podcast before. And one of those articles really touched on it. That thing about when you're in your 20s, you spread yourself really thinly. And then you kind of, as you hit towards your 30s, you start being like, wanted to have considered quality relationships. And that's definitely been something that I felt like I've tried to get better at. Whereas rather than trying to be loosely in touch with lots of people, I've tried to kind of rethink how my friendships are, and make effort at the right time, and put my time into the ones that I want to. I think that's, you know, not a fear of losing touch with people who you've just, you know, kind of grown out of, or your situations have changed.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of, yeah, appreciating that your time isn't infinite, so you're doing less but doing better.
Yay, we love that. That's our mirror message.
What else have we got to talk about?
I don't know. Barbara's telling me I need some new trainers, but I don't have any money.
Oh my god, I definitely need to get some new trainers, because I'm running in kids trainers still.
Yeah,
which is fine for like short distances, but half marathons, they're not that great.
Because they've not got the
cushioning.
No, and my, well, you know, mine are the adult pair of yours, and their cushioning has gone in a year, and now I'm starting to feel they don't feel very nice to run in now.
Is this actually our subliminal monthly pitch for Adidas to get in touch with us?
Well, we're just letting them know that
we both wear your trainers, and we post photos of our trainers all the time.
I love my trainers. They have worn down. Should we do a Strava? What's the Strava Run Club update? I mean, there are some people doing so much mileage on there.
Lots of people doing lots of mileage. Just not us.
Not me. Yeah. I wonder if my statistic could be that I was the bottom of the group, but I'm not.
I don't think you are.
I'm not quite. But
you will have run more than me. So we've got 26 members in our Strava club now. If you search on Strava, One for the Road, come and be a hashtag Strava wanker with us. Yeah. So top of our leaderboard this week's leaders. Here we go. This week's leaders, and given it's Saturday, so this is almost a full week, we've got Jill Bland at the top, who's run 70 kilometres this week.
Wow, and I've got the miles because I'm looking at it as well.
Oh yeah, sorry.
That's
my Strava set in kilometres.
This works well because we're like the two sides of it.
Yeah.
43 miles, that is.
Wow. And yeah, the next person is quite a long way behind that.
Yes. Hannah and David are clipping, they're close to each other.
Yep, 42 kilometres.
I mean, I haven't put all my runs in yet this week, so I could climb up the ladder a little.
Oh, you don't have some kind of auto-syncing?
No. Well, I've got a Garmin watch, but I still have to plug it in, yeah. Auto-syncing, didn't even think of that. Oh, man.
Oh, well, I'm really geeky, and like literally as soon as I get home from a run, I'm like, I'm plugging my Garmin in. Woo!
Oh, it's because I've been having bad runs, so it makes me a bit sad about it, you know? You don't, like... Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Actually, mostly, well, for cycling, I mostly use my phone. So, cycles don't show up in this, do they?
No, this is just running, actually.
Oh, rubbish. Otherwise, I'd totally be smashing
it. I was going to say, do we need to start a separate group for the cycling?
Maybe we should. Because I'm never going to top this one.
Because I'm so proud of my occasional cycling. I do like to make sure I've recorded that on Strava.
Yeah, I kind of got on the habit now of like before I cycle anywhere, setting my Strava off and then putting my phone in my pocket.
It's just the GPS. I love looking at the maps. I feel like there must be a really cool data visualization thing for Strava where you can do like cool things with it.
Yeah.
I think we should investigate that.
Definitely can. But in the meantime, come join our group and you too can feel bad about how little you're running compared to everyone else in the group.
Or be inspired. I mean, there's been some seriously nice pictures as well.
Yes.
I would shout out Sam for that. All his jersey photos look beautiful.
Yeah. Always by a beach, damn it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I am by a beach right now, though.
Okay, good point, yeah.
Just saying.
What else social can we shout out? So Strava, we're on Strava. We're on Twitter and Instagram at OFTR Podcast. You can email us, oftrpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is oftrpodcast.wordpress.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes so you don't miss a show, and also leave us a nice review. Thanks. So, also newsletter, we've mentioned it once already, but next Tuesday, instead of us in your ears, you can have a newsletter in your inbox. So go onto our website and you can subscribe to that too. Other than that, I think we're done, probably.
Cool.
Okay, bye.
Bye.